Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Om namo bhagavate
Today is Shivaratri. As Vaishnavas, we generally do not celebrate Shivaratri. And to begin, I will explain why, with reference to a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapter 7, Knowledge of the Absolute, text 23. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavatyalpamedasam devandeva yajo yanti madbhakta yanti mam api. Translation. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. Those who worship the demigods go to the planets of the demigods. But my devotees ultimately reach my supreme planet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Some commentators on the Bhagavad Gita say that one who worships a demigod can reach the Supreme Lord. But here it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to the different planetary systems where various demigods are situated, just as a worshipper of the sun achieves the sun, or a worshipper of the demigod of the moon achieves the moon. Similarly, if anyone wants to worship a demigod like Indra, he can attain that particular god's planet. It is not that everyone, regardless of whatever demigod is worshipped, will reach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is denied here, for it is clearly stated that the worshippers of demigods go to different planets in the material world, but the devotee of the Supreme Lord goes directly to the supreme planet of the Personality of Godhead. This is logical. As Srila Prabhupada has said, if you buy a ticket to Calcutta, you can't expect to end up in Bombay. If you worship a demigod, you go to the planet of the demigod. And if you worship Krishna, eventually you will reach the supreme abode of Krishna. Here the point may be raised that if the demigods are different parts of the body of the Supreme Lord, then the same end should be achieved by worshipping them. However, worshippers of the demigods are less intelligent because they don't know to what part of the body food must be supplied. Some of them are so foolish that they claim that there are many parts and many ways to supply food. This isn't very sanguine. Can anyone supply food to the body through the ears or eyes? They do not know that these demigods are different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. And in their ignorance, they believe that each and every demigod is a separate god and a competitor of the Supreme Lord. So there's a verse in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that explains that just as by pouring water on the root of a tree, all of the limbs and branches and leaves are watered, and just as by giving food to the stomach, all the different limbs of the body are nourished. Similarly, by offering worship or rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, all of the demigods and all living entities are served and satisfied. The results achieved by the demigods' benedictions are perishable because within this material world, the planets, the demigods, and their worshippers are all perishable. Therefore, it is clearly stated in this verse that all results achieved by worshipping demigods are perishable, and therefore such worship is performed by the less intelligent living entity. Because the pure devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness and devotional service of the Supreme Lord achieves eternal blissful existence that is full of knowledge, his achievements and those of the common worshipper of the demigods are different. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. His favor is unlimited. His mercy is unlimited. Therefore, the mercy of the Supreme Lord upon his pure devotee is unlimited. So, as Srila Prabhupada has said, as in elaboration on the verse, everything within the material world is temporary. The demigods themselves, the bodies of the demigods are temporary. The bodies of their worshippers are temporary. The planets of the demigods within the material world are temporary. And the fruits that one gets from worshipping the demigods are also temporary. Nothing lasts. And the authority of the demigods extends only within the material world. They can only give material benefits to their worshippers within the material world. It is only Vishnu or Krishna who can grant the supreme boon of liberation. No demigod can give liberation. And beyond liberation, the devotees of Krishna can achieve Krishna bhakti, Krishna prema. Srila Prabhupada said that the impersonalists want to become one with God, but the devotee can actually become greater than God in the sense that he can control the Lord, or she can control the Lord by her love or his love. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna is acting as the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna is commanding Krishna, take my chariot between the two armies so I can see who has assembled on the battlefield. So the Lord likes to be controlled by his devotee, and his nature is that he comes under the control of his devotee's love. So, of course, the Lord is supreme. No one is equal to him and no one is greater than him. But out of love, the Lord becomes subordinate to his devotee. And so the idea of becoming one with the Lord is not, of course, the devotee would never want that, because in the oneness there's no service, there's no exchange of love. So these Demigod worshippers are described in this verse as Alpamedasa, less intelligent. And the opposite of Alpamedasa is Sumedasa, means very intelligent. And those who worship Krishna, especially through the Sankirtan movement in the present age of Kali, they are described as Sumedasa. Yavyai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Vi Sumedasa. So, because, and further, the demigods are not even able to give material benedictions without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Hriday Shay Arjuna Tishtati. The Lord is in the heart of everyone, including the demigods. So unless the Lord gives sanction, even the demigods cannot give their limited temporary benefits to their worshippers. So from every point of view, one should worship Krishna. And therefore, as devotees of Krishna, we have no need to worship any demigod. Krishna is like the king, who's the Supreme Lord, and the demigods are like various ministers in the cabinet of the king, or various department heads in the government. So we don't need to, as Srila Prabhupada said, if you pay your taxes, then you don't have to separately bribe, you know, the ministers in charge of the different departments. You paid your taxes into the central treasury, so you're entitled to all the benefits of a citizen within the country. So there's no need to worship the demigods, and in fact, the worship of the demigods is discouraged in the Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, we don't celebrate Shivaratri. But there is another aspect to Lord Shiva that is confidential. Confidential means only that ordinary people who don't know the scripture, who don't know Srimad Bhagavatam, are unaware of the actual position of Lord Shiva. Vaishnava Namita Shambhu, that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. And the worship of Vaishnavas, the service of Vaishnavas, and the glorification of Vaishnavas is included in Krishna consciousness. So, in an assembly of devotees, we can appreciate Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava. But otherwise, we don't worship Lord Shiva, because if we did, people would misunderstand and think that, oh, we worship Krishna, we worship Shiva, they're all the same. Once when we were in Madras, actually in Madras there are many Shaivites. In fact, there's a history of debates between Vaishnavas and Shaivites over who is supreme. And as Srila Prabhupada said, the Vaishnavas always win the debates. But still, that sense is there. You know, Shiva is supreme. You know, Vishnu is supreme. Once there was a European man. He actually came to India, probably in the, maybe in the 1950s, and he took sannyas. in some order of Shaivites. And so he wrote an article that was published in the most popular weekly magazine in India called the Illustrated Weekly of India about Shiva, basically saying that Lord Shiva is the supreme and that one should worship Lord Shiva and chant the name of Lord Shiva. So I wrote an article or a letter to the editor in reply to the article. And it was Srila Prabhupada's principle that he wanted us to reply to articles, respond to articles. Like once later, a devotee came across an article in the newspaper that said that the Balaji temple at Tirupati, which has immense wealth from the donations given to the deity, was going to loan money to encourage industries in the area. And when Srila Prabhupada heard that, he was very upset. He said that we should write a letter to the editor saying that the money belongs to Balaji and it should be used for Balaji's purposes. And what is Balaji's purpose? Pretty Trinaya Sadhu Nam Vina Shayachit Vitam Dharma Samstapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Comes to establish or re-establish the principles of religion. So it's Balaji's money, it should be used for Balaji's purposes. It should be used to establish the principles of religion. And of course in Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma is Harinam Sankirtan. It should really be used to promote Harinam Sankirtan. So I wrote to the Illustrated Weekly, and they published my letter, and then they had Dr. Bharati, Nanda Bharati, you know, respond to my letter. And the idea was to make us both look foolish. The editor, Kushwant Singh, he was a demon. And he wanted to make us both look foolish. So, and indirectly all religionists, all worshippers. So he ran an article, you know, Shiva Shiva versus Hare Krishna. That was like the title, like how silly these people are. And in Madras, there were also many people like that. They weren't overt atheists like Kushwant Singh, but they were impersonalists. Their attitude was similar. How silly, arguing Krishna is supreme, Shiva is supreme. God is one. There's no difference. Ultimately, God has no name. He has no form. He has no personality. So they were very, you know, they thought that we were, you know, naive sentimentalists, that we loved Krishna, we wanted to chant Krishna's name, we wanted to worship Krishna, we thought that Krishna was supreme. So within my visit to Madras, being new there, and quite a sensation, you know, an American Vaishnava was quite a sensation. So, you know, people say, oh, you should meet this person, you should meet that person. So, several people said, you should meet someone named Mr. Ramakrishna, who's very religious, and, you know, you should meet him and tell him about what you're doing. So I met Mr. Ramakrishna, and he was one of the people who thought that Shiva was supreme. So very quickly we came to blows, verbal blows, and he got very angry. He had a volatile nature, and he became very angry, became red in his face, and he raised his voice. And so that meeting ended quite abruptly. But I kept preaching and meeting people, and they kept saying, you know, you have to meet Mr. Ramakrishna. He's a very pious man. He's a very religious person. And I'm sure he was meeting people saying, oh, you should meet the Hare Krishna devotee. You know, they're very good people. They're doing wonderful work. So after a few more weeks, I thought, all right, maybe I should give it another try. I'll just be more careful. So I phoned him and he agreed to meet me. That's also what made me think that people were speaking to him about us. So it was embarrassing for both of us. So I met him and I tried to restrain myself and he tried to restrain himself. But eventually, we came to the same point. Who is the supreme? Is it Krishna or Vishnu or is it Shiva? And the argument was escalating again, but neither of us wanted it to end the way the last one did. So I got an inspiration. And I said, my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, is coming in a week or two. So instead of us discussing, why don't I invite you to meet him when he comes and you can discuss with him directly. So he liked that idea. It was a way out for both of us. And in the end, you know, what could be better? Meet the pure devotee of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada came and I invited Mr. Ramakrishna to meet him, and Mr. Ramakrishna came, and he told him, you know, I met your disciple Giriraj, and, you know, I said that Shiva is supreme, and he said that Krishna is supreme. And then Srila Prabhupada took a completely different approach. He didn't enter into the polemic about who was supreme at all. And he said that there are two, this is how he began, it was very striking. He said there are two words in Sanskrit, puja and bhakti. In puja, one worships the deity to get some material benefit. And in bhakti, one worships only for the goal of giving pleasure to the deity without any expectation of personal return. Then Srila Prabhupada said, generally, the worshippers of Shiva engage in puja. And they worship Shiva to get some material benefit in exchange. Whereas in bhakti, we worship Krishna for the sake of Krishna's pleasure, just to make him happy. So then Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, is it not possible to worship Shiva in the mood of bhakti? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is, but it would be exceptional. Just like generally people go to a liquor shop to buy liquor. Now one could go to a liquor shop for another purpose, but that would be an exception. Generally people go to the liquor shop to buy liquor. So Mr. Ramakrishna was very satisfied with the answer. Very satisfied with the answer, because Srila Prabhupada didn't enter into the controversy about which deity was supreme, but rather he entered into discussion about the worshippers of different deities and different moods of worship. Later, towards the end of our stay, a very wealthy man in Madras invited Srila Prabhupada to his home for the consecration of his temple in his home. And he was a very prominent person. He invited many dignitaries. And the temple room wasn't so big as... I mean, it was a good-sized temple room for a house. It wasn't so big to accommodate all of Srila Prabhupada's disciples and all of the other dignitaries. So Srila Prabhupada and the other dignitaries were inside the temple room, and we disciples were outside the temple room, just sort of looking in. And as part of the ceremony, you know, there was some Brahmin, some pundit who conducted the puja. And as part of the ceremony, the host distributed flowers to the guests. And the deity was of Shiva, was a Shiva Linga. So we were all very interested to see how Srila Prabhupada would deal with the situation. And at the appropriate moment, all of the dignitaries, all of the invitees, they threw their flowers, flower petals, on the deity of Lord Shiva. And we were all looking at Srila Prabhupada, and he threw his flowers in the corner. So... okay. Okay, he's the Acharya. We have to, you know, learn from the Acharya. So then after the ceremony, when all the other invitees came out of the temple room, we went in and we looked in the corner, and there we saw was a little deity of Krishna. He offered his flowers to Krishna. Because not we, ISKCON, is Srila Prabhupada's representative, and we individually are meant to represent Srila Prabhupada, so we have to be very careful not to encourage people's wrong ideas. Of course, if we were to celebrate Shivaratri, I mean, maybe not here because our devotees are very well trained and educated in our congregation, but there are places where, you know, ISKCON temples actually have celebrations of Shivaratri to sort of cater to the Hindus who want to come to the temple to observe Shivaratri. But the danger is that they will think that Shiva is the same as Krishna. And even if they chant the holy name, but if they have the idea that Shiva and Krishna are the same, they won't be able to make advancement because they're committing an offense against the holy name. One of the 10 offenses against the holy name is to consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. So that's why we don't celebrate Shivaratri. And we have no need, because we're worshipping Krishna. And in reality, we don't really even need to worship other avatars of Krishna. We can just worship Krishna. because they're all included within Krishna. But still, coming back to the point of bhakti, you know, the basic definition of bhakti, anya vilasita shunyam jnana karmati navritam anukuyena krishna anuchilanam bhakti uttama. Srila Rupa Goswami gives the basic definition of uttama bhakti, that anyabhilasita shunyam, that one should have no other desire other than to serve and please Krishna. Jnana karmati anavritam, and one's service should not be covered by jnana, that impersonal knowledge that leads to the conclusion of impersonal monism. Karma, fruitive activities, as in the mood of puja, that I'm doing this to get some result. Just like, in ordinary business affairs, one may invite someone, you know, for dinner, out to a restaurant and feed him nicely and drinks and, you know, entertain him in the hopes that one will get some benefit from him in business. So in the same way, people, they like wine and dine the demigods, you know, if I offer bale leaves and Ganga Jal or whatever, I'll get something good out of it. So that fruitive mentality has no place, and certainly the speculative idea of trying to merge and become one with God has no place, and anything that covers the true nature of bhakti has no place. So jnana karmati anavritam anukuyena krishna anushivanam. So pure devotional service would be rendered favorably to Krishna, and that is uttama bhakti. So the acharyas who have commented on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion, has included much of their commentaries in the Nectar of Devotion. Especially the whole introduction to the Nectar of Devotion is an explanation of this verse, Anyavilasita Shunyam, in which he includes the ideas of the commentators on Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So they say that Krishna does not just mean Krishna alone, but Krishna includes all of the expansions of Krishna, such as Lord Ramchandra, Lord Nrsingadeva, and so on. It includes his name, his form, his pastimes, his paraphernalia, and it also includes his pure devotees. So, serving a pure devotee, worshipping a pure devotee of Krishna is also part of, or is included within, and he is part of uttama bhakti. So, in that sense, as devotees of Krishna, we can worship Lord Shiva. And in particular, the forms of Lord Shiva in which he is acting as a devotee of Krishna. There are many pastimes that involve Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, where Lord Shiva wanted to see the pastimes of Krishna. He wanted to serve Krishna in Vrindavan. And there are deities of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan that had been established there by Lord Krishna's great-grandson, Rudranath, who established many of the main temples in Vrindavan after Krishna left. And among the temples of Lord Shiva in Vrindavan, some of the prominent ones are Nandeshwar Mahadev, which is near Nandagram, that celebrates when Lord Shiva came to the house of Nanda and Yasoda. He wanted to see baby Krishna, and Mother Yasoda thought, she was so protective of baby Krishna, she thought that this strange looking figure of an ascetic would frighten him. So she said, no, I'm afraid that my child will become too disturbed if he sees your strange appearance. So she sent him away. And then baby Krishna began to cry because he knew that his dear devotee had come to see him. And eventually Mother Yasoda invited the ascetic back, and then baby Krishna was satisfied. That's Nandeshwar Mahadev. And there's Chakleshwar Mahadev at Manasi Ganga at Govardhan. It is said that Sanatan Goswami was good friends with Lord Shiva, and he always resided near him in Raj. At Manasi Ganga, he was just right near his Bhajan Kutiras, right near Chakleshwar Mahadev, and also the Madan Mohan temple near the Yamuna. It was near Gopeshwar Mahadev. To illustrate their intimate relationship, once Sanatana Goswami was, although he had been residing at Chakratirtha, he was being too disturbed by the mosquitoes. He couldn't do his bhajan, he couldn't write his books, so he decided to leave there. And when Lord Shiva saw that his dear friend was about to leave, he came in the guise of a Brahmin and asked him, why are you leaving? So Sanatana Goswami said, I'm too disturbed by the mosquitoes here. I can't do my seva. So Lord Shiva was very relieved because he knew that this was a problem that he could easily solve. So he asked Sanatana Goswami, please stay just one more day, and after that, if the mosquitoes still bother you, you can go. So then Lord Shiva called the demigod in charge of insect life and told him, I don't want mosquitoes disturbing this great devotee here. So, you know, tell your boys to lay off. And so then the mosquitoes stopped coming there, and Sanatana Goswami stayed. He actually completed his pastimes there. But the most famous deity of Lord Shiva for us, the most important, is Gopeshwar Mahadev. This deity was established by Rajanab near the site of the Rasa dance, near Vamsivat, where Gopinath played on his flute to call the gopis for the Rasa dance. And the story of Gopeshwar Mahadev is that he wanted to be able to participate in the rasa dance, which is the highest, best of all of Lord Krishna's pastimes. So there are variant versions to the story, but according to one version, Purnamasi, who is an elderly Brahmani in Braj, she's like the Shiksha Guru of the Vrijvasis. The mother of Sandipani Muni, who was Lord Krishna's guru. So she advised him to take bath in the Yamuna, and that he would get, you know, do some austerities, take bath in the Yamuna, and he would get the form of a gopi. So he took bath and he came out in the form of a gopi. And so when Krishna was to enjoy his rasa dance with the gopis, this new gopi came. And the other gopis said, "Oh, this is a new gopi." And they all gathered around and said, "Oh, what village are you from?" She didn't know what to say. "What's your husband's name? How many cows does he have? Who are your children?" It's like she had no answers. So the other gopis thought, "This is not a gopi. She's not one of us. This is an imposter." They were like ready to beat this imitation gopi. So then Mother Purnamasi appeared on the scene. And she said, "No, this is Mahadev Shiva, he's a great demigod, don't take any action against him." But then she explained to Lord Shiva that no one can actually participate in the rasa dance without being a gopi. You can observe it from a distance, but you cannot actually enter into it. And then she gave him a boon, or a service, which is a boon, that he could guard the arena of the rasa dance. And that is also one of Lord Shiva's services, his kshetrapa, who's the protector of the dham, in different places, in Navadvip as well, and everywhere. And he would have the power, you know, to keep out the unqualified people and allow the qualified people in. But beyond that, he would have the power to give someone the qualification to enter. So devotees, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they pray Gopeshwar Mahadev to be able to enter the pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. And the temple of Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan is very interesting. The deity is like any Shiva Linga, but every evening at about 4 o'clock, the pujaris dress the Shiva Linga like a gopi. They cover the Shiva Linga with a sari and you know, bangles and ornaments, and the linga becomes like the gopi's face, and the shawl is on top, and devotees come and worship Gopeshwar Mahadev. So there's one nice verse in purport about Lord Shiva as a Vaishnava. There are many pastimes of Lord Shiva described in Srimad Bhagavatam. And we know Srimad Bhagavatam is Amala Purana. It's a completely spotless Purana. It's called the Paramahamsa Samhita. It is the scripture for Paramahamsas. It is the topmost scripture. And there's no subject in Srimad Bhagavatam other than Krishna and pure devotional service to Krishna. So the pastimes that involve Lord Shiva show his true nature or his inner nature as a Vaishnava, as a devotee of Krishna. So in one pastime, the sons of the king, 100 sons of the king, called Prachetas, they were engaged in austerities. And Lord Shiva met them, and he saw that they were engaged in austerities to realize Vishnu or Krishna. And he acted as their guru and gave them a series of prayers called the Song of Lord Shiva to sing to please Lord Vishnu and become pure devotees of Lord Vishnu. So when he met the Prachetas, he made this statement. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva. Text 30. We'll do it properly, it's a special occasion. So please repeat. Ata Bhagavata Yuyam Priya Sta Bhagavan Yata Na Mat Bhagavatanam Cha Prayan Anya Asti Karichit Ata Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Prayan Anyosti Karichit Ata Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Prayan Anyosti Karichit Ata Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Prayan Anyosti Karichit Namad Bhagavatanam Cha Priyan Anyosti Karichit
Kriyanthanyosthikarishe.
Ladies.
Atta-bhagavata-yuyam.
Priyasthava-gavanyata.
Namat-bhagavata-namcha.
Kriyanthanyosthikarishe.
Atta. Therefore. Bhagavata,
Bhagavata,
devotees,
devotees,
Yuyam,
Yuyam,
all of you,
all of you,
Priyaha,
Priyaha,
very dear to me,
very dear to me,
Sta,
Sta,
you are,
you are,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Yata,
Yata,
as,
yes.
Na,
neither.
Much,
Mata.
Than me.
Bhagavatanam,
Bhagavatanam, of the devotees.
Of the devotees.
Cha,
Cha,
also.
Also.
Krayan,
Krayan,
very dear.
Very dear.
Anya,
Anya,
others.
Others.
Asti,
Asti,
there is.
There is.
Karichit, at any time. Translation. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know that in this way, the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Vaishnava nam yata shambhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishwar. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani, or Durga, as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamasthaisthai hrita jnana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods. But a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. Jai Shri Sri Radha Kala Chandra Ki Jai. I'll just finish reading this. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asura worships Lord Shiva, takes some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. So this is the symptom of a devotee. One who is actually a devotee of the Supreme Lord will love all other devotees of the Supreme Lord. And Lord Shiva really loved the Prachetas. He went out of his way to help them. And not only that, he respected them on the same level as the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was kind and merciful not only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. It is stated in the list of Namaparads that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara or Shiva are the same. The devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotee. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Rama, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshipped Lord Shiva. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? In other words, the Lord himself worships his devotee. And Lord Ram, on occasion, worshipped the deity of Lord Shiva. So if the Lord himself worships a devotee, why should other devotees also not worship another devotee on the same level as the Lord? Sakshat Hari Trina Samastashat is worshipped on the same level as the Supreme Lord Hari. But Kintu Prabhuya Priya Eva Tasya, but one knows that although one worships the devotee on the same level as the Supreme Lord Hari, one knows that he's not the same as the Supreme Lord Hari, but he is the most confidential servitor of the Supreme Lord Hari, or Krishna. If a devotee is worshipped by the Lord, why should a devotee not be worshipped by other devotees on the same level with the Lord? This is the conclusion. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras simply for the sake of formality. Okay, they're worshiping me, they want something, okay, I'll give them something to get rid of them. Srila Prabhupada said, actually, the demons or the materialists who bother Lord Shiva for material boons just disturb him in his Krishna consciousness. And one of his names is Asutosh. He very easily gives benedictions. So Srila Prabhupada said, Lord Shiva thinks, oh, this rascal's coming to bother me. Okay, take it. Take whatever you want and go. Let me chant Ramnam. Let me chant Hare Krishna. From this verse, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asura simply for the sake of formality. It's not really a blessing, but he's giving them what they want to get rid of them. Actually, he loves one who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of God. Gopeshwar Mahadev ki. So are there any questions or comments? Yes? Rasaraj Prabhu.
I have confusion as to how Lord Shiva got associated with impersonalism. Because in most instances, his commentary or his songs are always in the mood of bhakti. Whereas normally Lord Shiva is considered to be the worship.
Rasa Raj Prabhu says that Lord Shiva's songs and prayers are full of devotion for Lord Krishna. Yet, impersonalists are associated with Lord Shiva. So, how is that? Well, there are two answers. The first answer is that Lord Shiva has a planet which is just on the border of the material sky and the spiritual sky. In fact, it is said that the impersonalists who want to merge end up there. It's just the borderline between matter and spirit. The other answer is that when Lord Narayan wanted, after Lord, you probably know the history, that the so-called followers of the Vedas were misusing the Vedas to support animal slaughter. And so the Lord came as Buddha out of compassion for the innocent animals who were being slaughtered, and also to save the so-called followers of the Vedas from the sin of killing the animals. So he preached the philosophy of ahimsa. He said, you know, don't follow the Vedas. If the Vedas say that you can kill animals, don't follow the Vedas, but just follow ahimsa, nonviolence. So that purpose was served. They stopped killing animals in the name of the Vedas. But then the Lord wanted to reestablish the authority of the Vedas. But because of the Buddhist philosophy being non-theistic, he could not immediately convert them to the Vedas with a theistic understanding of the Vedas. And the Vedas are theistic. So he wanted someone to reestablish the authority of the Vedas with a non-theistic interpretation, which is called Advaitavad, like no difference between the individual soul and the supreme soul, impersonal monism. So when Lord Narayan approached his servants, the assembly of his servants, no one wanted to do it. They said, Oh, not a Advaitavad, not that. Anything, ask us anything but that. We don't want to touch a Advaitavad. And Lord Shiva, Vaishnava Nam Yatar Shambhu, the greatest of the Vaishnavas, he agreed. It's just like when the demigods and demons were churning, turned to poison. So Lord Shiva was the one who came forward. All right, I will drink the ocean of poison. So in this case, he spit out the ocean of poison in the form of Advaitavad or Mayavad. And his name was Shankaracharya. Shankara's name for Lord Shiva. He was Shankaracharya. So because of the connection between Shankaracharya and Shankar, or Shiva, Mayavadis often are inclined towards Lord Shiva. But even Shankaracharya revealed his inner mood as a devotee on occasion. Of course, the most famous expression was his parting words, you know, before he left this world, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Muda Mate. But there are others. He visited the temple of Vitthal in Maharashtra, the most famous temple, most famous deity in Maharashtra. And He recited many wonderful prayers to Lord Vittal that are inscribed in marble tablets in the temple. Similarly, he visited the temple of Guru Vayapan in Guru Vayur. It's the most famous temple in Kerala. And the story there is that he was flying with his mystic powers. He was flying over the temple, and he saw these devotees worshiping, and he just had some thought like, what is this? Like, what are these people doing? What's going on there? And as soon as he had that thought, he lost his power to fly. His power to fly was withdrawn, and he came crashing down to the ground right in front of the deity. And then he saw, oh, it's Lord Narayan, this is Lord Vishnu. He also recited many beautiful prayers there that are also inscribed in the temple. And he's also associated with the temple of Lord Jagannath in Puri. So both as Shankaracharya and as Lord Shiva, internally he's a devotee, but he has other services. As Lord Shiva, he's in charge of the mode of ignorance. He's the demigod in charge of destruction. And he sort of gives shelter to people in the mode of ignorance. You know, ghosts and hobgoblins and all sorts of people. He's very merciful. He's very merciful. But his, you know, his true feature, his inner nature, is as a devotee of Krishna. And same with Shankaracharya. Yes, Ananda Prabhu?
The deity of Kameshwar and Kamiva, do devotees have much association with that deity, like with the other deities in Vrindavan?
Yeah. I was going to mention him as one of the prominent temples of Shiva and Raj, but I don't know the particular history of that particular deity. Yeah? All right, so thank you very much. We pray to Lord Shiva, out of his immense love and compassion, to be merciful to us and help us to chant the holy name without offense and to serve his Lord and Master, the Lord of the Gopis, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Shri Gopeshwar Mahadev Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Tai Gaur Premanande Guru.
Shri Rasmai Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.